What's that?
I'm glad I'm here.
I'm glad I'm here too. I'm sorry. I already started stepping on toes. isn't God good? Okay, everybody kind of cry yourself back in a little bit. This is where I miss Billy sitting right there going, you open the cages, you got to bring them back in. Isn't God so good? I've been excited about this sermon series as I'm starting to get into it more. I really am. It's great. Amen. God just works so many wonders in our lives, and I thank Him for that. There you go. Let's get your Bibles out. Stand for the reading of the Word. Get your Bibles out. Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. God is so good to us. He's a whole lot better to me than I am to Him. Amen. Can anybody else say that too? Hey, amen. Amen. I like to think that was not so, but it isn't. I like what Brother Wayne, that challenge is. We got to try to outdo God, try to outgive God this year. Let's just do what we can to give it everything we got. If we'll give it all we got and do everything we can do, God will do what we cannot do. Amen. I was talking to somebody just this week, and they were talking about God's not doing this and God's not doing that. And I said, well, how much of it you could do? And he said, well, if God would do this, I would do that. I said, well, do you ever think that maybe faith is asking you to you do your part? And then God will step in and do His part. And they said, I didn't think about it that way. Well, it's a good thing to think about. Amen. Philippians chapter 3, verse 13. Brothers, I count not myself to have apprehended. In other words, I haven't arrived yet. How many here has arrived? Okay, I have not arrived yet, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let's stretch forth your hands this way. Father, we love you, Lord. We praise your name. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. We know, God, that you are alive and well and evermore and always will be on your throne. God, I thank you, Lord, that your Spirit is in our midst today too, Lord. Your Spirit is your agent that's in this place to connect our hearts and the Word together and to blend the Word in so we can understand it and so we can see it and we can grasp it. I ask you, Lord, let your Spirit just run through this place in a very powerful way. And Lord, help us, God, to feel that freshness, Lord, that your Spirit brings. We thank you for that. In the name of Jesus, you're an awesome God. You're a powerful God. I ask you, Lord, to touch all those families, Lord, that have been affected by death in the last few weeks, Lord. You got that too. And you have grace and you have comfort for all of them. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And we love you. And the church said, amen. You can be seated. On the way down, shake somebody's hand, say, the past is behind us, the future is ahead of us, God is with us, and nothing shall be impossible. Go ahead. That's right. I happened to run across this article about, some people don't get it. No matter how hard you try, they just don't get it. You ever seen anybody like that? Amen. No matter how hard you try. Well, taking great pains to be specific, the new auto shop teacher on staff explained to three of his students that he wanted them to clean a car that was parked outside. He gave them two extension cords, a vacuum cleaner, a bucket, rags, and the car keys. He mentioned that the car was one to be used in the class. Later, he went out and discovered them sitting in the car, feet up on the dashboard, listening to the stereo. "Why aren't you vacuuming the car?" he asked. "Because the extension cord wouldn't reach," was the reply. Exasperated teacher stated, "That's why I gave you two." "We tried the other one," said the student, "and it wouldn't reach either." That's the new book, okay? For all those that want to know, that's from the new book. It's not from the old book. Amen. Burn the new book too. Amen. It's like I was watching America's Got Talent. You ever watch America's Got Talent? It really is a cool show. And the other day, that the new one of the new judges said she didn't like beeping people or belling away, kind of buzzing them. And they said they started showing her in all in her because they've already recorded a lot of this and so these aren't the live shows. And so if you'll notice during the show, they'll be wearing different kind of clothes because they're from different nights. They're just putting the things in order. And so this girl didn't want to buzz anybody out. And all of a sudden, she started buzzing everybody. She got so busy and so happy with the buzzer that one day the woman walked on stage and gave her name and they buzzed her. I'm thinking, I don't know if I'll show you my talent or not if you're going to buzz me for telling you my name. Amen. All right. So here we go. Ready to burn the book. You haven't even heard the rest of the jokes. Burn the book. Okay. Keeping your focus. And, of course, I got rebuild mode. You know, again, this is a church call. This is when I say church call, it's everybody. Look at somebody and say everybody means you and me. Tell them, you and me. All right? And it's not only in this church, it's all over. But especially, I'm concerned right at this moment with this church. But it's for all churches, but especially right now for this church, right? The church call is, in case you haven't noticed, we're in a rebuild mode. And because we're in a rebuild mode, you know, I can just think back just a few months ago when this place was pretty well packed out. Then there was a few months before that it wasn't. There was a few months before that it was, and a few months before that it wasn't. You know what I'm talking about? It's kind of like a seesaw. Amen. It's kind of going back and forth, and we're in a rebuild mode. But the Lord assured me that once we get to this rebuild mode, we're going to be taken to a newer height than we had ever been taken before. Amen. So here it goes. Watch this. Because in a rebuild mode, you can either let it depress you or you can let it drive you. Now, that the choice is yours. Do you want it to depress you and get you all upset and think, well, we're going downhill. We might as well go ahead and just quit coming because nothing's happening, blah, 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 blah. Or can you say, you know what? This is fresh. God's doing something good, and we thank him for what he's doing. Just this morning, I was talking to somebody else in their life. They were telling me that in their life, everything was going wrong, and it seemed like everything was getting out of hand, and they just thought their life was just falling all to pieces. And then I reminded them of something. And that is, God not only sends great things in your life, God also sends adversity. He sends great things, yes, to build you up. But when he sends the adversity, he builds you up even higher. Okay? Adversity. Without Goliath, David would have still been a shepherd boy. But because of Goliath, he wound up being king. Amen? So think about this thing. You may be having adversity in your life today and wonder how in the world, what's going on, or what's happening. And I'm here to tell you, God's got you in rebuild mode. Because in rebuild mode, he'll even take your enemies and your adversity and use it to rebuild you. Matter of fact, do you know anybody that just gripes you? When you hear him talk, it's like fingers on a chalkboard. Think about this. God's using them as sandpaper. To smooth off your rough edges. So thank God for even the ones that you go, every time they talk to you, ugh! Remember, God's using them to take off the rough edges. You know, somebody said, thank God he loves me enough to take off my rough edges. Somebody say that. I dare you. Okay, so God uses rebuild mode to actually draw us out of complacency. And when I say collapse, we're just falling all to pieces. We're expecting, you know, when things are falling all to pieces, just know this. God's going to put you in rebuild mode to bring you out of that. So he draws us out of complacency and draws out of us freshness and for us to go further. This is just a few from last week. It's only just one or two more, and then we're going into something fresh. So just remember something about the rebuild mode, though. Rebuild mode is a dangerous time. I love this. I love that sign. Do not touch. Not only will this kill you, it will hurt the whole time you're dying. I love that sign. I don't know why, because I don't want to get shocked. And I don't want to hurt the whole time. But this sermon, that's just funny. I'm sorry. All right. That's that sick sense of humor I got sometimes. All right. It's a dangerous time because we can lose sight of what God is doing. Remember, He's not pushing you down in rebuild mode. He's actually picking you up. How many has ever said this? Well, I'm at the bottom now. There's only one place to look, which is that. Okay, in rebuild mode, God will do some demolition in your life. He'll send some adversity in your life. He'll do some things in your life that you weren't expecting to happen. Even use people that you weren't expecting to hit. That you're saying, well, Satan's using those people. Well, Satan may be using those people, but God is using them too, because he's using them to build. This is not tear you down, but to build you up, to make you stronger. Okay, I can think of, Mighty Army, I think it was last week. It says, in this life, there's two kinds of people. People that build you up and people that tear you down. In the end, you will thank God for both. Wow. Wow. Okay, so here it goes. Watch this. So, what God is doing, he's not pushing you down. He's actually pulling you up. And don't lose focus on what you're doing. Don't get discouraged. But use this as a time of discovery, because watch this. Once Satan gets you discouraged, here's one of his greatest tools, discouragement. Here's what happens is, look, it's a subtle tool because it sneaks up so soft that it's unnoticeable. Have you ever, it's like I took notice. My mama died on December 16th, and my wife died on December 20th, and my first wife's birthday is July the 6th, and my mother's is April 22nd. And I don't even notice it when these are coming up. But once they come up, that day I just kind of feel kind of weird. And then toward the end of the day, I'll look and see what day it is. Oh, no wonder. Okay, even though I'm not thinking about it consciously, subconsciously, I'm thinking about it. Some of y'all in here right now, you got things you're wondering, why am I feeling so bad today? Why are things feeling so rough today? You may not actually physically be thinking about something, but subconsciously, because remember, your mind never sleeps, ever. So your mind, well, there's a few people I wonder about, but most people. Your mind never sleeps. And because your mind never sleeps, you're always thinking about something, and whatever is heavy on your mind, well, even while you're not even thinking about it, your mind is still trying to process why it happened. Process, how am I going to get out of this? Process, which way should I go? And so it's still going on in the back of your mind. It's kind of like your computer. You're working on your computer and you're working on the screen, and all of a sudden it gets bogged down. You're thinking, why is it getting bogged down? I'm only working on a word. Just working in Microsoft Word, how's it getting bogged down? And you hit a little button and it says your program, your computer is running 26 programs right now. And so you hit a little button and it cleans out those 26 programs, and now you're just using Word by itself and you got plenty of space. The same way our mind is processing all this stuff and processing junk all at the same time while we're trying to work on regular stuff that we've got planned for. So it's a subtle tool. It sneaks up so soft, it's often unnoticeable, and it's a deceptive tool because it makes you just feel, ineffective. Okay, I got effective there. You got to start working late at night, or have to start making sure somebody else checks behind me. Okay, it makes you feel ineffective temporarily, and it's a patient tool because it's like a trap waiting to be sprung. And it's a cooling tool because it cools you down and it keeps you down and it prevents you from ever getting hot. So if there's something in your life right now that is actually bringing you down or discouraging you, remember, sometimes you don't even realize it. I remember one time I had a doctor. I had a person in my family that was having a very, very hard problem. They were very sick. And the person on the outside seemed like they were coping with it. But there was all this stuff happening to them. And so I went to the doctor and I said, Doc, we got a problem because I started naming off all the stuff. And they said they were depressed and didn't even know it. Wow. Although they were putting on a good front, all the signs of depression were there. And so that's one of those things I learned a long time ago. You got to be careful how you're acting, because remember, this is why Satan loves to use discouragement in your life. So now, our focus, we got to be focused, okay? And here we go. I've only got two scriptures to use today, but I'm not going to say how long I'm going to stay on each one. Okay? Satan doesn't want you to realize the unlimited value of your focus. There's potential, there's power, and there's position in an undivided focus. You know, this is what it was. You're talking to your spouse or your parents or your, and while they're sitting down, they come home and they got the paper, they got this, and you're talking to them and they're going, I love to play little games when I see that going on. I go, you know what? I killed a neighbor's cat today. Yeah, I buried him in the backyard. That sounds nice, honey. Yeah. By the fact, I buried him next to the other 10 cats I killed last week. That's cool. The law should be here anytime trying to find me. Well, I hope they do, dear. You just have a good time. What is my focus? It's divided. I'm trying to read this, and I'm trying to listen to my spouse or listen to my kids, or you know, and my kids loved it because they would come to me in church. Bethany learned it from DC was the instigator. He taught Daniel. And then Daniel taught Bethany. They would come up to me in the middle of church while I'm talking to somebody and go, Dad, can I have the keys? I'm talking to somebody. Well, just give me the keys. All right, I give them the keys. 30 minutes later, I can't find my keys. It's raining. I can't get out of my car. I go to my office. It's locked. I'm trying to find my keys. I don't know where the kids are at. They've gone off with somebody else because they have already come and asked me, can I go off with such and such? And I said, yes, I don't even remember it. I know your kids don't do that. Okay. So again, divided focus. So it's very important. Remember, if you can be focused like a laser beam focus, your potential will grow. It's amazing. God's got so much for us to do and so much that we can do, but Satan tries to keep our focus broken. Because if your focus is broken, you say, well, I'm just working over so many problems. Well, you know what? Sometimes some of these problems you're working on, you shouldn't even be working on because Satan's using those to divide your focus. Not saying that you should ignore things, but there's certain things, you know, I was taught as an EMT, when I come up on a wreck or when I come up in places, I'm supposed to do an initial look over of the people. And when I look over them, I can't think of the proper word right now, but you look, well, it's assessment. Yeah, do the assessment. Why do I want to work on a guy that's got a toe out of joint when I got one that's got his carotid artery's been sliced and he's bleeding out? He's trying to call me over now and say, well, just hold on just a minute. I got to reset this toe. Some of us have got people, we're trying to work on toes out of joint when other people's hearts have stopped. Amen? That's what a divided focus will do. There's so much potential. There's so much power. There's so much. Your position is so strong and unmovable if you have an undivided focus. And so what I'm going to do is, we're still going to go on through this for a couple of weeks, but here we go. There's 10 things to focus on as we rebuild. All right? Here's what I want you to think about. I'm only going to do two scriptures today, but like I said, I don't know how long I'll be on them. Amen? It all depends on how good my focus is. Matter of fact, I'm going to tell you this. The more you respond, the shorter I get. All right. Okay, ready? Ready. Number one. Watch this. God has called you. Listen now. God has called you. It wasn't to get you to this place so he can drop you. Listen again. God has called you. Every last person in here has a call on their life. Everybody has a call on their life. And where you're at today, God hasn't brought you to this point and said, okay, I'm through with you. You're disposable. I'll just get rid of you. There's nothing else you can do. You might as well just go ahead and pack up. No! God didn't get you to this place to drop you. Somebody say that. God's got this. Say it. God's got this. Hey, he didn't get you here to drop you. Here it goes. Watch this. I love it. Philippians 1:6 in the Amplified. I am convinced and sure of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will continue until the day of Jesus Christ, right up to the time of his return, developing that good work and perfecting and bringing it to full completion in you. God's still working on you. Amen? God's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. It took him just a week to make the moon and the stars, the sun and the earth and Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient he must be, because he's still working on me. Amen. Did we read up here? We hadn't arrived yet. You let me know. Y'all go ahead and get in with it. Come on, let's get going here. That's right. God hadn't brought you here to drop you. God hadn't left you here. You're not disposable. Amen. God's got something planned for you. Look, there is a work, a good work in you. And other than a good work in you is God's good work. God's doing something special in every last one of us. He began it and he will complete it. He is the mighty God. Amen. You know, I finally found something that I almost got in trouble with the other night I was at the prison, and I almost got in trouble. Matter of fact, I think I might still be able to watch my back. I was getting ready to do a training class. Brother Pollock said, can you do this training class for me? I said, sure. And so I go to do the training class, and I go in this room, and there's a computer, and I got to get this computer running because all the new people are going to be coming in for me to train. But when I come in, there was full of deputies and detention officers. And I said, how y'all guys doing? They said, oh, look, they already didn't want to be there. They got to work 12 hours. They were just getting there for their 12-hour shift. And they're in there, and they're all looking like, ugh. And I said, well, can somebody get me the password for this computer? I really need this computer to teach this class. And one guy went out and come back and said, it's deputy. And of course, me and my big mouth, I said, you mean like in I Shot the Sheriff, but I didn't shoot the deputy? Nobody laughed. That got me. Look, they didn't laugh. Matter of fact, I thought they were going to come on me. And I looked over at some of the older guys that should know that song, and they were smiling until the other guys started looking at it, and then they went. I want to say, you bunch of sissies. Come on, fellas. It's okay. But they had guns I didn't, so I just got quiet. All right. I want to get this in your head right now. God called you. Take your finger and say, God called me. Go ahead, do it again. God called me. Ready? Here we go. God called me bumps and all. Say it. God called me bumps and all. Amen. God called me bumps and all. Now say this. God uses my bumps in my call. Say it. God uses my bumps in my call. God uses everything in my life. Say it. God uses every part of my life in my call. Amen. There's a good work in you. Amen. God didn't bring you here to let go of you. Now that's number one. You got one more scripture. Brandon, you go ahead and figure out what you can play for an altar call. He might get happy now and start playing real fast. He might look because here's a good one. He will build his church, not us. He'll build it. He uses us, but he uses us through his power to build the church. Think about it. Look, Matthew 16:18, Amplified again. And I tell you, you are Peter, Greek Petros, a large piece of rock. But on this rock, the Petra, the huge rock like Gibraltar, I will build my church. And the gates of Hades, the powers of the infernal region, shall not overpower it or be strong to its detriment or holding out against it. Let me just stop here and tell you something about the gates. The gates of every city is where the wise men met. It's where the government met. It's where the city was governed from, was from the city gates. Lawyers met there. Court was held. Civil matters were decided at the gates. At the gate of the city, punishment was dealt. Punishment was administered. at the gates. The gates were the most powerful part of the city. You could not get into that city unless you went through the gates. I want you to think about something. Oh, wow. Listen carefully. The biggest thing about the gates were they were stationary. Jesus said, upon this rock, the confession that I am the Christ. Upon this rock, the confession of the gospel. Upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. If they're stationary, listen carefully, please listen. If the gates are stationary, why are we letting Satan run over us? If the gates are stationary, why are we letting Satan run over us? Watch this. And now I'm going to tell you who you are really. You are. You are Peter, a rock. This is the rock on which I put together on my church, a church so extensive or so expansive with energy that not even the gates of hell will be able to keep it out. Not even the gates of hell will be able to keep my church out. We're letting hell take us down, and we should be going in and taking hell down. Amen? Quit letting hell take us down, and let's start taking hell down. Amen? Matter of fact, if you listen. God has invested so much power in us. Do you think Jesus Christ died on that cross for hell to come against us? He died on that cross. This is what's so cool. He died on the cross, and the Bible says that he went into hell, and he preached to the captives for 3 days, and he told John on the Isle of Patmos, he said, I'm he that was dead, but now I'm alive. And he says, look what I got. Not only am I alive, I was dead, and I'm alive, but when I went into hell, you know what? Satan walks everywhere he goes. You know why? Because Jesus took his keys. Why do we keep allowing Satan to run over our life when we have the power? Wow. Y'all, that ought to get y'all excited right there. If that don't get you excited, I think I'm just going to sit down and preach some more later. Look at somebody and say, look, take your keys out. Take your keys out. You got your keys with you? Take them out. I want you to do this. I want you to stand up and do this. The next time Satan tells you what he's going to do, the next time Satan tries to run ramshot over your life, the next time he tries to get you to believe all kinds of mess about you and believe all kinds of mess about how he's going to take over and this and that and the other, you just pull these out and go, no, you're not. Jesus got your keys, bro. Jesus got your keys. Amen? Remember, gates are stationary. They're there to keep us out of his territory. They're not there for him to come into ours. It's for him to keep us out of his territory. It's time for us to kick down the doors and get in his territory and tell him, quit, let go of my family, let go of the stuff that's going on around me. We're going to take back the schools. We're going to take back this area. We're going to take back the drug-infested areas because we're going to tear hell all to pieces because we're coming against the gates. Amen. God's got this. God's got this. Amen. Real quickly, you have to keep your focus through the pain. This is what we ended with last week. You have to keep your focus through the pain to get to those gains. Amen. When you go fighting, don't you expect Satan to just lay down and play dead because he ain't going to do it. He's going to fight. You know, when you cut a snake's head off, he still keeps on moving. Have you noticed that? You wouldn't have some fun getting around somebody and cut the head, well, after you cut the snake's head off, pick them up and say, this thing's still alive. You'll scare him to death. Amen. When you take a chicken and wring his neck, he's still running. All right. And you ever heard say he's as crazy, running as wild as a chicken with his head cut off? I was raised out there at the farm, my grandmama. I remember those chickens, how they run all around. You had to wait for them to quit running so you could catch them and pluck them. Satan's not going to lay down, but that's okay. Don't expect him to. We've got the power. Somebody say it. We've got the power. And anytime Satan tells you that you don't, here's all you got to do. I'm not kidding. Do it again, y'all. Come on. Take your keys out. Next time Satan tries to tell you all he's going to do, you do this right here. And go, really? God's got the power. God's got your keys. God's got the power. God's got the power. Somebody say it. God's got the power. God's got the power. God's got the power. Come on. God's got the power. Glory. That's right. That's right. You can, look, here it is. You can focus on your problems, and when you do, all you're going to have is pain and panic. But if you would just focus on the promises instead, you're going to find power and you're going to find peace. In the name of Jesus. Now, everybody bow your head. Everybody bow your head. If you're here today, first off, if you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, today's your day. Today's your blessed day because you come to the right place at the right time. If you don't know Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, nobody looking around, every head bowed, would you just stick up that hand quickly? Say, I do not know Him, but I want to. Maybe you're here this morning and you would say, you know what, Pastor? Me and the Lord, we were one time were tight. But I didn't understand these principles that you're teaching right now. I thought God had dropped me. And I didn't realize that the gates of hell were stationary and it's for me to go through and take back, not for Him to come and take away from me. I believed the lie from hell. And somewhere along the way, I backed off from God. And I'm not where I was with Him. If I'm talking to you with every head bowed, every eye closed, if you're here today and you're saying, I'm not where I once was with God, but I want to be back there, would you raise that hand? Raise that hand. Bless them, Lord. Bless them, Lord. Maybe today you just say, I'm ready to take back what the devil has stolen from me. I'm taking back. I'm not going to believe the lie that God has dropped me. I'm not going to believe the lie anymore that God's through with me. I'm not going to believe the lie anymore that I'm disposable. I'm not going to believe the lie anymore that the gates are coming my way, but I'm going to go to the gates and I'm going to take care of some business. If that's you, just raise those hands. Raise them because we're all going to pray right now. Raise those hands. Here we go. Let's pray together. Ready? Let's pray out loud. Everybody pray. Father, I thank You that You have not dropped me. I thank You, God, that I'm not disposable. I thank You, God, that You can use every bump and every bruise in my life for Your glory because You called me knowing ahead of time how it was going to be today, and You still called me. Father, I realize the gates are stationary and You're calling us to go take back what the enemy has stole, and we're going to do it through Your name. Right now, in the name of Jesus, we rededicate our life and our ministry and the call on our life. We rededicate to it in the name of Jesus. We're Yours and we thank You. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Now, if you got another reason you want to come pray, that'll be fine. Come on up here and pray. We'll spend time with you. If you want to come pray at the altar, come on. We're not trying to stop you. I just know that the way we've been doing it lately, it gives a chance for everybody to get involved in the altar call, and we all get a chance to pray, and it's really, really awesome. Anybody else you need to come up and pray? This altar's open. is never shut down. You can come anytime during any service and be prayed for. God loves us, and He knows what we need, and He's able to meet every need in our life, and we thank Him for it. In the name of Jesus, we thank Him for it. 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 God is awesome all the time.
Be careful. I still have it in this ear, and my legs are getting weaker.
Okay. Lord, right now, in the name of Jesus, we come against the lies. We come against the thief. We come against the sickness. We come against it all in the name of Jesus. We know, God, that You're more powerful than anything we could ever imagine. You're not just powerful, You are power. And we thank You, Father. You're not just able to heal, You are healing. And I thank You for it right now in the name of Jesus. Touch my sister's ear, touch her leg. Father, in the name of Jesus, let her feel You from the top of her head to the soles of her feet. Right now, in the name of Jesus, thank You, Lord. Thank You, Father. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Father. Thank You, Lord. In the name of Jesus, You're awesome, and we thank You for what You're doing. Amen. Amen. God is awesome. God is awesome. All right. Look, I want you to do it. I want you to. All during the week when you're getting feeling rough, I want you to do that. Your people at work might think you're crazy. That's okay. They think I'm crazy anyway. Just do it. Anybody ask you what you're doing? Say, I'm reminding myself that God's in control. What you need. God's got this. God's got it. I can't ever think of a time He didn't have it. How about you? Amen? Come back Tuesday night. We're going to go ahead and put it on the website. In the next couple of weeks, we're going to start that thing on depression. That 8-week class on depression is going to start probably week after next. But we're going to make sure we put it on the website and give you 2 weeks. Okay? 2 weeks. And then everybody wants to be in. Come on Tuesday nights. It's going to be awesome. And we thank You. Ready? And look, y'all be praying today because we got one more funeral. And that's my brother-in-law. And the way it's kind of, my sister-in-law's in Tennessee. And she can't get here. His body is still, they cremated him in Tennessee. But he won't be here today. But all the people from Virginia and other states are going to be here. And they're going to do that Facebook Live. So my sister-in-law can be in the funeral. Okay? So let's remember them in prayer. All right? Brother Steve.